Okay, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Lech Lecha. We will begin on page 56. So the parasha begins with Hashem telling Abraham to leave his land to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he does so. And Pasuk Vav reads, "Vayetzu aleches arza Kanan," and they went out to go to the land of Canaan. "Vayavayu arza Kanan," and they came to the land of Canaan. "Vayavar Avram ba'aretz," and Avram passed into the land. "Ad mekayim Shechem," until the place of Shechem. "Ad Elon Meira," until Elon Meira, name of the place. "Vaknani oz ba'aretz," and the Canaanite was then in the land. So I want to begin tonight with a very important introduction from the Ramban about everything we're going to learn now about Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This is a famous rule. The Ramban writes, "Oyma lecha klal," I'm going to tell you a rule, "Tavin ois v'chol ha-parshiyas ha-bois," you shall understand it, contemplate it throughout all the coming parshiyas, "B'inyan Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov," in regard to the lives of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. "V'inyan Gadol," this is a very important rule, this is a very important concept, rather. "His Kibru Rabbi Yisrael Baderach Katsara," our sages mentioned it in a short form of the Medrash for Amru, and they said, "Kol ma she'iru la'avais," whatever happened to the patriarchs, "simen lebanim," is a sign for the children. Whatever happens in their lifetime is a sign for what will happen to their descendants. Everything that happened to them pretends what's going to happen to their children.
One generation.
And what you mean?
Well, to their children rather than all descendants. Just
No.
Everybody.
Descendants for generations.
V'lochein,
Yarichu Aksuvim, therefore the verses will elaborate B'sipur ha-masois, regarding where Avraham traveled, the chafiras ha-be'eris, and the digging of wells that Avraham did and that Yitzchak did, u'sha'ar ha-mikrim, and other occurrences, the yachshav ha-choshev b'hem, and one who thinks about them, ki'ilu heim devarim yusarim heim behem toyelis. You look at it and you say, what's the point? Why do I need to know this and that? It seems irrelevant. But the truth is, every one of them is coming to portend the future for the Jewish people. Okay, so that is what the Ramban is laying out. And the Ramban himself goes through all the things that happened in the Parashiyos, and he shows how they are meant to be a sign for the future. But that's what Ramban is saying. Anything that you see about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that seems to be irrelevant, it's not irrelevant at all. It's all there because those are the signs for the future. Now the Ramban then explains that the importance of these signs is the fact that he says like this, when something happens to one of the three patriarchs, one should contemplate how this is actually a decree that will affect their children. V'da'ino, ki gol gezeiras irin kasher teitzim mikoyach hagezeira el poyol dimyon, any kind of decree, any kind of prophecy that is now going out from the realm of decree into a symbolic act, tia gezeira miskayemas al kolponim, that will now allow the decree to, under all circumstances, come to fulfillment. The Ramban shows from a number of sources that when a Navi would receive a prophecy, in order to make sure, in order to guarantee that that prophecy would come about without any kind of question, in order to guarantee the fulfillment of that prophecy, the prophet would do a symbolic act that resembled the prophecy. He was given a prophecy, and he would do an act that resembled the prophecy, that related to the prophecy, in a symbolic way. It was a symbolic act. There's the prophecy, which of course it encompasses a lot. And then the Navi does an act that is a symbolic act. It resembles, it relates to the prophecy. It's a symbolic act, symbolic of the prophecy. And by now making this symbolic act in the actual world, in the real world, that now takes Hashem's decree, Hashem's prophecy, and guarantees that it will come to fruition.
Otherwise it wouldn't have happened?
That's a good question. That's a whole discussion on itself. Well, from the Ramban, it would have seemed that the only way to guarantee it would be this way, and there are commentaries that ask from different sources on that. But to some degree, the Ramban is saying, yes, in order for it to be able to come about, there needs to be some kind of symbolic act, symbolic of the prophecy, that will now, because there was a decree, and now you did a symbolic act, in reality, that now guarantees that eventually the decree will come about. And therefore, says the Ramban, Hashem told Abraham to take hold of the land, to go to the land and live in the land. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Abraham in the land. And he made for him symbolic acts regarding the future that would happen to his children. So what happened to Abraham, Abraham's experiences are all actually symbolic acts of the future of the Jewish people. So Abraham is not necessarily, Abraham received certain prophecies from the Ribbono Shel Olam about his children or his children would inherit. But a lot of the deep, all the details aren't necessarily there. I guess that's how you'd put it. And although Abraham is not necessarily being told about all those details, but everything that is happening to Abraham is meant to be the symbolic act for the future decree that Hashem has for his children. And we'll see an example of that tonight. But everything that's happening to Abraham is meant to be that the same way the prophecy gets its symbolic act to come to fruition, to come to fulfillment. In the case of Abraham, Abraham's future, which again wasn't, some of it was delivered in a prophecy, I don't know if every detail was, but the point is that the prophecy, the promises, the future of Abraham and his descendants, that future will be fulfilled through the symbolic acts, through the life of Abraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, through what comes about during their lifetime. What they do during their lifetime is that symbolic act that brings Hashem's potential decree into the realm of coming about.
But is it true that Ramban generalized it to every prophet?
He generalized it to every prophet. He gives examples, and he says, again, I can't tell you, are there questions from different cases? Are there questions on the Ramban? The Ramban cites three examples of prophets that they received the prophecy and they performed a symbolic act afterwards.
No, it's just that if I'm Isaiah and like was given bad news about the Jews, if I don't do the act,
these are all good questions. I'm just taking the Ramban's point about how the Ramban is saying that in a similar way that we find by the prophecies, that that the prophecies were followed by a symbolic act which would bring about their fulfillment, their guaranteed fulfillment. Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, everything that happened in their lives was the symbolic act of the future decree for their descendants. And that would guarantee that it would come to fulfillment. Okay. So that is how the Ramban lays out everything. If you look in the Chumash and you find things that seem superfluous, unnecessary, why do we need to know this? Never assume that. You always have to figure out somehow, and as Ramban does point out to us, and other commentaries point out to us, that what's happening here are those symbolic acts that portend the future of the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, an example of this. Let's now go to a couple of pages here. Page 70. Okay. So let's take a look, page 70, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Aleph. Sarai Eishes Avram La Yoldaloi. Sarai, the wife of Avram, did not bear children for him. Velashiv Chamitzris Vishma Hagar. She had an Egyptian maidservant, and her name was Hagar. Vatamai Sarai al Avram. Sarai said to Avram, Hinei no'at Sarai Hashem Yiledes. Hashem has held back for me the ability to give birth. Vayna al Shivchasi, marry my maidservant, Ulai Yibadim Imena. Perhaps I will build up from her. Vaishma Avram lekol Sarai. Avram listened to the voice of Sarai. Vatikach Sarai Eishes Avram Asagar Hamitzris Shivchasa. Sarai, the wife of Avram, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her Egyptian maidservant, Miketz Eser Shon, Lashemes Avram Beretz Canaan, 10 years after Avram settled in the land of Canaan, but Titain Oysa La Avram Isha Loi Li Isha, and she gave her to Avram as a wife, and she gave her to Avram, her husband, for him as a wife. Vayavoy El Hagar Vatar, so he came to Hagar and she became pregnant. Vateira Ki Harasa, Hagar saw that she became pregnant. Veteika gavirta be'eneha, and her mistress became light in her eyes. Basically, here is Sarai, the righteous Sarai, doesn't become pregnant. I right away become pregnant. You know, she starts questioning, you know, who Sarai really is. But Tamar Sarai al Avram, so Sarai says to Avram, Chamasi alecha, my anger is on you. Anoichi nasati shemchasi b'chaykecha, I gave my maidservant to you. Vatereki harasa, she saw that she became pregnant. Va'eka be'eneha, I will become light in her eyes. Yishbert Hashem b'niyo v'necha, Hashem should judge between me and between you. Va'yirma Avram al Sarai. So Avram said to Sarai, hine shivchaseich b'yodeich, your maidservant is in your hand. Asila tovi be'enoich, do what's good in your eyes. Vata'aneha Sarai. So Sarai afflicted her. Vatibrach b'poneha, and because of that, she ran away. So in some way, Sarai was, the Torah describes Sarai's behavior towards her as tanel, which means to afflict. Rashi says, Haysa Meshabedis Baba Kaishi. She worked her hard. But she afflicted her to humble her, that she to subjugate her to her authority.
But do you understand what her argument is?
Let's focus on something else right now. Okay? So now, the Ramban, famous Ramban, on this fact that the Torah says that Sarai afflicted her and she ran away, writes the Ramban, Chata imenu b'inui zeh. Our matriarch sinned regarding this affliction, which means that she should not have mistreated Hagar the way she did. Avraham also was wrong. Avraham also didn't do right when he let Sarai do so. V'shama Hashem el Anya, Hashem heard her affliction. V'nasan labein, and Hashem gave her a son. Sheyehi pera Adam, who will be a wild man. La'anois zavra Avraham v'sara, to afflict the children of Avraham and Sarah. V'chamina inui, in all types of affliction. The Ramban is saying, if you want to know why we have problems with Bnei Yishmael, with Yishmael's descendants, it's because of this. Because of the fact that Sarai and Avram afflicted Hagar, because of that, the punishment for that was that Hagar's descendants will afflict their descendants. Now, this is not something that we find very often, that the Ramban is going to be this kind of critical of the others. And any time we see this, we have to be very careful, because there are many people out there, so-called scholars, that jump at every chance to criticize Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, Yosef, anybody in the Chumash, they're ready to criticize. And they're very big into making sure that we understand that they're human just as we are. The Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were people beyond our comprehension. And therefore we have to be very careful before we start criticizing them. But we're talking about the Ramban, Arishan. And the Ramban does it, and if the Ramban does it, he's doing it with all the respect due to Avraham and Sarai. But he says that they were mistaken. They did the wrong thing. Sarai should not, even though, again, Hagar was not behaving properly, but the fact that the Torah describes Sarai's behavior towards her as inui, as affliction, that means that's the Torah saying that she was doing, the Ramban understands that as saying that this is Sarai overdoing it. This is Sarai doing something, behaving towards her in an inappropriate way. And as the Torah says, because of this, she ran away. And the Torah says that If you look in Pasuk Zayin, "Vayimtza'a Malach Hashem al Ein Amayim Amidbar," the Malach of Hashem found her at a spring of water in the desert, "Alayim Derech Shur," by the spring on the way to Shur. And "Vayoyimar," the Malach says, "Hagar, where are you coming from? Where are you going?" Sarai, and Hagar responds, "I'm running away from Sarai." "Vayoyimar la Malach Hashem Shuvi el Gavirtech Visari Tachas Yodah." Go back and allow yourself to be afflicted under her power, under her control. "Vayimar la Malach Hashem," the angel of Hashem said to her, "Harba arba sarech liyasafar meroiv." You'll have many children. "Vayimar la Malach Hashem," the angel of God said to her, "Hina harav yoladet bein." You're going to become pregnant, have a child, have a son. "The karas Yishmael, Yishmael, the karas Yishmael," you'll call his name Yishmael, "Kishma Hashemel Lanyech," because Hashem has heard your affliction. That the Ramban understands to be saying that the affliction that Sarai did to Hagar was inappropriate, and Hashem heard that, Hashem saw that, and because of that, the result is she'll have a son, and as the Pasuk says, he will be a wild man, his hand in everything, everybody's hand on him, etc. So the Ramban understands this again as Sarai and Avraham's mistake, and because of that, now the punishment, measure for measure, the affliction that they gave to Hagar, now will come back on their descendants, that Hagar's descendants will afflict the Jewish people. Okay? Now we're going to get back to this discussion about her affliction. But what I want to point out, because we started with the Ramban of Ma'isa Ave Simul Amonim, so when she, in Pasuk Tes, Vayomer La Malach Hashem, the angel of Hashem said to her, "Shuli al Gemertech," go back to your mistress, "Vis'ani Tachas Yodeha," and allow yourself to be afflicted under her control. Says the Ramban, what was the Malach doing here when he sent her back? So the Ramban says, "Tziva Oisa Lashu Velakabal Oleha Memshelas Gevirta." The Malach commanded her to go back and accept the dominance of her mistress. Ramaz, he hinted, "Kiloisei Tzei Lachav Shinimena." Hagar will not go out free from her. "Kibnei Sarah Yimshlu Bezara La'olam," because the children of Sarah shall rule over her children forever. Meaning, Hagar running away from Sarai was Hagar gaining her freedom from Sarai. And even though she was running away seemingly rightfully, or I don't know if you call it rightfully, but she was running away due to Sarai's ill treatment of her, which Ramban says was not correct, still the Malach says, go back and allow yourself to be afflicted. Allow her to dominate over you. Why did the Malach say to do that? Because that will be a sign that the descendants of Hagar, after all the trouble they're going to do for us, the descendants of Hagar will be subjugated, will be humbled before the descendants of Sarai. So, because of the fact that Sarai afflicted her, that now gave Hagar's descendants the power to afflict Sarai's descendants. But the Malach has her go back and to accept the dominance of Sarai as a sign again for the future that Hagar's descendants will be subjugated to the dominance of the Jewish people. So this is an example of what the Ramban said before, that what happened by the fathers portends the future. Here we have Hagar actually, because of her affliction, being given the right to her descendants to afflict the descendants of Sarai and Avram. However, Sarai is eventually, again, Hagar goes back under the dominance of Sarai because that is a sign for the future, pretends the future, that eventually there will come a point of time where the descendants of Sarai, of Hagar, the descendants of Yishmael, will be subjugated to the Jewish people. Okay. Now.
So in 11 it says, "Behold, you will conceive and give birth to us." Right. Why does it say that?
Because Rashi says that she miscarried the child she was pregnant with.
Oh, okay.
So she was telling you, the Malach is saying to Hagar, go back. You go back as a Avram's wife, and you'll have a child. Okay. I want to spend a little bit of time now on this Ramban's, his opinion that Sarai did wrong here. Now, he's saying that Sarai should not have afflicted Hagar. Hagar was not behaving properly, but for Sarai to now go and to afflict her was not the appropriate form of behavior. Now, the Ramban I have here is the Ramban that was put out by Rabbi Chaim Dov Shavel, And he has footnotes here. And in his footnotes, he brings the commentary of the Radak. And the Radak agrees with the Ramban. And the Radak writes, Sara did not act here in a way of musr, of proper behavior, self-restraint. She wasn't acting following the trait of chasidus, of piety. What Sarai did was not good in the eyes of God. As the Malach said to Hagar, Hashem has seen your affliction, heard your affliction. And he gave her a blessing because of her suffering. The Radak says, why is this episode written in the Torah? In order, the point of this story, says the Radak, is to learn proper behavior, proper character traits. That basically, even if you have someone not behaving properly towards your authority, and it doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing about it, but you have to be careful how far you go. You don't go and afflict them. You have to figure out every situation needs its own judgment. And no one says that because someone's defying your authority, that you just let it go. But you have to know how to do it. In this case, for the Torah to describe Sarai's actions as affliction, and to say that, and for the Malach to say Hashem has heard your affliction and given her a blessing in place of the affliction, that shows that a person has to be careful how they treat someone else, even under these kind of circumstances. Okay. This is the Radak's opinion. He agrees with the Ramban. Then Rabbi Shavel brings down another Sefer. This Sefer is called Maaseh Hashem. And the Maaseh Hashem also brings a proof to the Ramban. What's his proof? The proof is, because the Malach said to Hagar, this is in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Yemer la Malach Hashem, the angel of Hashem said to her, behold, you'll become pregnant, you'll have a son, you'll call his name Yishmael. Why? Ki shama Hashem el anyech, Hashem has heard your pain. So Yishmael has in it, Kael, Hashem's name, it has the word shama, which means to hear. But the Ma'aseh Hashem points out that if the point of the Pasuk is just to say that you're going to call him Yishmael because Hashem has heard the voice of your pain in the past, meaning if this is only about hearing Hagar's pain in the past, then Yishmael's name shouldn't be Yishmael with a yud in the beginning, which has the connotation of Yishma, which means he will hear, future. Yishma, the way we have here Yishmael's name is Yishmael, Hashem will hear. Now, if we're talking about that Hashem has heard, only referring to what happened in the past, says the Ma'aseh Hashem, you know what Yishmael's name should have been? Shemuel. Not Yishmael, Shemuel. Because Shin Mem Aleph means he heard. That would have been Shemuel, God heard. Now that it says Yishmael, that implies that something in the future that Hashem is going to hear. Aval Tziva Likra Yishmael. The Malach commanded to call his name Yishmael, again with the yud in the beginning, that means in the future he will hear, Lagalas al Ha'asid, Shia'ana Zera Yisrael Kikata Saraba. Hashem will hear her pain in the future. In the future, Hashem will be hearing the pain of Hagar in regard to the fact that Hagar's descendants will afflict the Jewish people because of her pain. So the Ma'aseh Hashem is adding to the Ramban's point that the fact that Yishmael's name is Yishmael, which means Yishmael, Hashem will listen in the future, not Shemuel, Hashem heard, just going back on the future, to bring out the idea that Hashem will be hearing her suffering in the future. He will be hearing her suffering in the future, that her descendants will afflict the descendants of Sarai. Okay, so that is the Ma'aseh Hashem supporting the Ramban, that Sarai did not do right here. But then Shemuel brings down other commentaries that ask the following, that ask on the Ramban from the following. There's a Tosefta. Tosefta is like Brisa. It was written by the Tanoim, not included in the Mishnah. Tosefta in Saita that says like this. Now we know, well, let's take a look. Let's turn to next week's Parsha. So this is the first time we have an issue between Sarai and Hagar. In next week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayera, there's going to be a problem again. And the problem is going to be that when Yishmael is going to get bigger and start making problems for Yitzchak, What does Sarah say to Avram? Goresh, get rid of her, right? She has to go out. Now, let's take a look there. And this is on page 96. Pasuk Yud Beis. Page 96, Pasuk Yud Beis. So, Sarah says to Avram to chase away this maidservant and her child. Avram is not happy about it. So, Pasuk Yud Beis reads, Vayomer Elokim al Avraham, Hashem said to Avram, Ayera beinecha, it should not be bad in your eyes, al anar, al amasecha, regarding the lad, regarding your maidservant. Kol asher toimar elecha Sarah, whatever Sarah says to you, Shema b'kayla, listen to her voice, ki b'yitzchak yikarelocha Sarah, for in Yitzchak, you, the children shall be called in you. So the Tosefta focuses on the fact that Hashem says to Abraham, kol asher toimar elecha Sarah, Shema b'kayla. Everything, anything that Sarah says to you, listen to her voice. What is the point of that word kol? Anything, everything. Just say, Sarah wants, right now Sarah wants Ishmael and Hagar out. Hashem should say, listen to her. What's the call? What's everything that Sarah says to you? Listen to her voice. Says the Tosefta, Umata Madloi Makol, what is the word call coming to teach us? Melam, and it's coming to teach us, Shechriya L'Shnia V'Chriya L'Rishayna, that Hashem was declaring a decision about the first episode and the second episode. Mashnia al-Oida is Hagar. The second time it was about Hagar. Aparishayin al-Oida is Hagar. The first time also it was about Hagar. Meaning, just like now, Hashem tells Abraham, listen to Sarah, get rid of Hagar and Ishmael because of Hagar's behavior, which is interesting because when you learn Rashi, it's about Ishmael's behavior. It's not necessarily a contradiction. But the Tosefta is saying, just like the second time, right? It was about Hagar's behavior that Hashem said, listen to Sarah and get rid of her. The first time also, it was about Hagar's behavior. Meaning the first time also, it was Hagar's behavior that Sarai afflicted her for it. And the same way that Hashem is saying to Abraham now, listen to her voice, Hashem is saying the first time she was also to be listened to. Upirish Aminchas Bikurim. So the comment of Minchas Bikurim explains, Lalame Gamal Apam Rishayna. This is coming to teach us regarding the first time. Shehiskim Lamaisa Sarah. That Hashem would say that he agrees to Sarah's actions. Sheinsa Es Hagar Batevra Mepanela. That she afflicted Hagar because that Hagar ran away. Umashnia Hiskim La Lafisha La Hukshra Maisa Hagar. And the same way, the second time Hashem agreed because of Hagar's inappropriate behavior. Av Kain Bapama Rishayna Haya. The first time also, they argued, Fishloi Hukshru Maisa Hagar Beineha, because the actions of Hagar were not proper in Sarai's eyes, in parentheses he has, because of idol worship. Meaning, according to this, again, the fact the word kol is coming to say anything that Sarai said or did, she's right. This time, it's clear that she's right. Hashem says, Shema B'Kayna. What's the call? Everything coming to include the first time around. That time she was also right. And the Minchas Bikurim is saying, what does it mean? Or actually the Tosefta says, the same way the second time was because of Hagar, the first time it's also because of Hagar. The second time there was a problem with Hagar's behavior, the first time there was a problem with Hagar's behavior. Now the second time behavior, they don't bring down here what that's referring to. But that could be referring to, as Rashi brings down, Yishmael's idol worship. Yishmael's inappropriate behavior. Yishmael's inappropriate behavior was the responsibility of Hagar. And if Yishmael was acting inappropriate, and I think one of the pshatim is that he was, seemed to be worshipping idols, then that's Hagar's responsibility. Well, the first time around, says the Minchas Bikurim, this commentary on the Tosefta, the first time around, there was also about that. The problem where we see that Hagar is not respecting Sarai, Minchas Bikurim says, was there was some kind of ikuach, or some kind of argument between them about Hagar's behavior, which he's saying refers to some kind of form of idol worship. Not sure exactly where he gets that from, but that's what he's saying the pshat is right now. But the point of the Tosefta is, and the point of the question on the Ramban is that the Tosefta seems to say that Hashem agreed the second time and the first time to what happened. He agreed both times. And that the same way the second time Hashem agreed because of the actions of Hagar, it was the first time the actions of Hagar also. Hagar's actions were somewhat related to some kind of inappropriate behavior that Sarai was rebuking her about, and she wasn't accepting. And therefore she afflicted her. But from the Tosefta, it would appear that Hashem agreed with that first time. And therefore that's the question on the Ramban. So then the Rabbi Shavel brings down V'das Rabbeinu Shebapama Rishayna Oilei Chata Hagar Ba'akum. The first time around, Hagar had not yet sinned in idol worship. L'chein Chata Sarah Be'inoi, and therefore Sarah was wrong for afflicting her. If it's true that this first time around had something to do with her behavior regarding idol worship, then Sarah is right. But Rabbi Shavel says the Ramban learns that the first time it wasn't about that. Now again, what he does exactly with the words of Tosefta is a different story. But he then brings a Zohar to support the Ramban. It's a very interesting Zohar. Zohar says like this: Shemeir al kach shem parsha shemofanenu kasev kishma Hashem el anyech v'sham kasev kishma elokim al kol hanar v'loksev kishma el kaylech. If we look again in next week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, so what happens again? Page 96. So Abraham sends them out, and let's take a look in Pasuk Yudalim. Vayashkem Abraham ba'boker. Abraham got up in the morning. Vayikach lechem v'chem asmayim. He took bread. He took a jug of water. Vayitein al Hagar. He gave it to Hagar. Somehow al shichma. He put it on her shoulder. Ves hayelad and the child. Vayishlachah, and he sent her away. Vatelach vateisa. She went out and she became lost. Bemidbar be'er shava, in the desert of be'er shava. This word vateisa, which means she wandered, she got lost. That's going to be an important word soon. Vayichlu amayim en achemis. She ran out of water. Vatashleiches hayelat tachas achar asichem. And she threw the child under one of the bushes. Vatelech vateshavla mineged harchik v'kodach v'keshes. She went and she sat a distance away from the child. Ki amra al erimais hayolet. She said, I do not want to see the death of the child. Vateshav mineged. She sat opposite him. Vatises kaila vatev. She lifted her voice and she cried. And Hashem heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. Hagar, what is to you, Hagar? Al tiri, don't be afraid. For Hashem has heard the voice of the nar. Now the Torah points out that Hagar cried. The Malach says, whose voice, whose cry is Hashem hearing? The lad's, not hers. What we read in our parsha, when she had to run away, when Hagar was running away from Sarai, what did Hashem say? Ki shama Hashem el anyech. Hashem has listened to your affliction. So in our parsha, Hashem hears Hagar. In next week's parsha, he doesn't hear Hagar. That is the Zohar's question. And the Zohar answers, Vatelach vateis v'midba be'er shava. The Pasuk says, again in next week's parasha that we read, and she went and she got lost in the desert. Kasiv hacha vateisa. Here it's written the word vateisa, which we translate as she wandered. Uksiv hasam, and we have a different Pasuk, that the word teisa means idol worship. Okay? So vateisa, she became lost, is alluding to the idea she became lost in idol worship. V'kutshavricha b'ginei da'avram le'shavit lo'alavram. It was in the merit of Avram that Hashem saved her and her son. Tochazi, come see. Bikad meisakad ozlas mikama de Sarah. The first time when she's running away from Sarah, maksiv, what's written? Kishama Hashem el yonich. Hashem, listen to your affliction. Vahash de tos basar akum. But now that she has strayed after idol worship, Avagav de chsivati says, kailavateit, even though it's written, and she lifted her voice and cried, maksiv, what is the Torah, right? Kishama elokim el kol hanar. Hashem has heard the voice of the youth, of the lad. And not, it doesn't say Hashem heard your voice. So the Zohar is saying, why the first time was the focus on Hagar, why the first time did Hashem hear out Hagar, the second time not, the answer is, because the second time, Hagar was straying after idol worship. So therefore, her cries wouldn't be listened to. Pretty clear from the Zohar that the first time, was she going after idol worship? No. From the Zohar, it'd be pretty clear, the first time there was no idol worship problem. Therefore, based on this, the Ramban says, that if there was no issue of Hagar's behavior, then Sarai should not have afflicted her. If she wasn't doing something sinful, let's put it that way, not to say she was doing something wrong, her behavior towards Hagar or Sarai was not correct, but if she wasn't doing something sinful, something like idol worship, then for Sarai to afflict her was not proper. So it's a very interesting discussion here, back and forth, about what of Sarai's behavior towards Hagar. You have the Ramban, you have other commentaries that support the Ramban, but then you have the Tosefta that seems pretty clear to be saying that Hashem agreed the same way Hashem agreed the second time with Sarai's actions, he agreed the first time. Then you also have the Zohar that makes this distinction between the first time and the second time. The second time she was straying after idols, the first time she wasn't. That would be a support to the Ramban, that the first time Hagar was not behaving in a sinful manner, let's call it, that she would be deserved to have that affliction from Sarai. Again, I don't think anybody's saying that what Hagar did was correct by not listening, by losing respect for Sarai, but she wasn't doing anything wrong or sinful that she would deserve that affliction. Now the last comment I want to share about on this comes from the Netziv. The Netziv cites, brings down the Ramban. And after he brings down the Ramban, so in Harchev Dabar, which is where he's got his commentary called Hamak Dabar, and then he sometimes adds more in called footnotes or whatever, or in the Harchev Dabar, which he elaborates on things more. So on this point of the Ramban, the Netziv brings down the Ramban, and then the Netziv wants to he wants to answer the Ramban, or he wants to explain Sarai's behavior in a way that's not as severe or as serious as the Ramban says. Ramban says chet chata. Ramban says the word, she sinned. She acted inappropriately. She acted in a sinful way. She acted wrong. So the Netziv has a very interesting approach of, basically he says, Sarai didn't act properly, but it wasn't a sin. He agrees. I'm assuming that the fact that the Torah calls it bata'anah, the Torah calls it inoy, affliction, that means something that's going beyond. That's not something proper. But to say chet chata, to say that she sinned, as the Ramban says, that the Netziv wants to suggest a different explanation. And he starts off with a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus says the following. Gemara in Tainus says, Hayitzur b'merabonin, if you see a young Torah scholar, the rasach, that he's getting angry, he gets angry, it's the Torah that's getting him angry. It's the Torah that's causing him to be angry. Rashi says, what does that mean? That means that a person who studies Torah, his heart becomes very open and sensitive. And because he becomes very sensitive, he becomes sensitive. Things bother him quicker. I'm not sure exactly what this means, because the Torah makes him more sensitive. But it seems that the Torah that he learns and he's focused on, that's broadening his mind and his heart, his senses, I'm not sure exactly to explain it. But the Torah, the Gemara is saying the Torah makes him more sensitive. Okay? After that, the Gemara says, even so, a person has to train himself to act calmly. So the Gemara is saying, if you see the young Talmud Chacham getting angry, give him the benefit of the doubt. It's not he just has a bad temper. But rather, the Torah has this effect of making him very sensitive. Okay? So now we have something to understand his behavior, what it's based on. But says Rabbah, But that's not the way that the Talmud Chacham should be behaving. He really should be behaving in a calm manner. A person should always stay calm. So we've got the Gemara first explaining the behavior of the Talmud Chacham, helping us understand and see him in a better light, even though it's not the way to go. Even that's not the proper way of behaving. So says the Netziv, do you know why Sarai got angry at Hagar? Because, look, Hagar goes ahead, she sees she becomes pregnant, and she says, well, you know, Sarai must, Rashi says she may not be the same, she's not the person that everybody sees. Now, as the Netziv says, Sarai had no question that Sarai was a righteous woman. That's not the issue. She saw the miracles that Sarai did in Paris house. It's not a question here of Hagar thinking that Sarai is a fake or there's something, that she's evil. But, if I understand the Rambam, the Netziv correctly, but the fact that Hagar could now lose some respect for Sarai after everything she's seen about Sarai is actually Hagar expressing a lack of kavod for Hashem. Of a lack of honor to Hashem. If she can lose honor for Sarai, then what's really happening here is that she's losing her honor, her respect, her fear of Hashem. Sarai is a prophetess. She saw the miracles that happened for Sarai. Sarai is the one who teaches the women. If now Hagar is questioning Sarai, she's not listening to Sarai, she's not respecting her as she should, says the Netziv, that really should be taken as Ella shehikila baliba the kavod shemayim. The fact that she lost respect for Sarai was really a sign that she's losing respect for the honor of Hashem. Sarai represents Hashem. She's a prophetess. She's a leader. If Hagar could lose respect for her, that means that Hagar is losing. It's actually Hagar's loss of respect for Hashem. And therefore, Sarai's reaction, says the Netziv, is like the Talmud Chacham's reaction. Why is the Talmud Chacham losing his temper when he becomes sensitive? Rashi says he becomes sensitive. But the Netziv is saying what lies in this Gemara about the Talmud Chacham having a temper, about reacting in a certain way, it means to say that, at least it includes also, that if somebody does something wrong, the Talmud Chacham is going to get upset. He's going to get upset. Why? Because he's sensitive to the honor of Hashem.
But she's an Egyptian.
But she's a student of Sarai.
Oh. Okay.
That she is. She was taken as a maidservant. You follow the Midrashim. She joined up. She said, "I'd rather be a maidservant by Avraham than be a princess by Egypt." So if you follow that, this is Hagar seeing what happened with Sarai, right, and now joining up with Avraham and Sarai because of that. So she's not just, you know, she's there's something to her, right? And now the fact that she is disrespecting Sarai sees that as a disrespect to Hashem. And therefore her reaction is a strong reaction. Because a person who cares about the honor of Hashem is going to react to it. There's going to be a reaction. It's a natural reaction. The Netziv seems to be learning this Gemara about the Talmud Chacham, his anger, is talking about that too. He's talking about the fact that you see he's reacting very strongly when something goes wrong. When people aren't doing something right, he acts very strongly. So you should understand why he acts in such a strong manner. Because the Torah has made him sensitive to these things. The Torah makes him sensitive to the honor of the Torah, to the honor of Hashem. That was Sarai. She was very sensitive to the honor of Hashem. So when you're so sensitive to the honor of Hashem, you naturally react in a very strong way. Now the Gemara says, you're still supposed to stay calm. You're still supposed to stay calm.
She was also
but there's an understanding, but the point here is, there's an understanding, there's a basis. There's a very strong holy basis for it. Therefore the Rabbi wants to say chet chata, she sinned? To say that it's a sin, that her reaction was a sin? Her reaction wasn't a sin. Her reaction was a natural reaction to someone who's sensitive to the honor of Hashem. Still, again, if the Torah calls, my understanding of the Netziv is, because the Netziv is definitely saying that she still didn't act properly. She did kind of go, the Netziv is saying that Sarai did act out of line for a person of her stature. But the reason she did it was because of her sensitivity to the honor of Hashem. And therefore, he says, you're not going to call, that's not a chet then. It's not a chet. You can't call it a chet. You can't call it a sin. It may not have been acting appropriately for a woman of her stature, of her status, but it's not a sin. So that's how the Netziv wants to approach Sari's actions. And again, my understanding is that the fact that the Torah calls it affliction, that's a harsh word. That means that Sarai is not doing something, is not acting the way she should. But being that the basis of it is her sensitivity to the honor of Hashem, which is what she saw Hagar's actions as being, as an affront to the honor of Hashem, the natural reaction, so sensitive to that, is this strong reaction that she did, although it is not the proper behavior for someone of her stature.
Does Sarah have enough amuna?
Wasn't like, a question of amuna here.
But she just made Hagar bring up so many problems later on. She didn't have amuna, they should have children and so forth.
It had nothing to do with the children part. It had to do with Hagar's behavior. So it's not a problem of her amuna about her children. She was doing the tyrant. There was nothing wrong with bringing Hagar in, allowing Avram to marry Hagar, because she says, Ulay Yibane Mimena. That's it. We're not going to spend time on how that works. But this was her hishtadlus, her efforts to be able to have children. Okay? That's why she did it. Her reaction, her affliction of Hagar wasn't her jealousy towards Hagar. It was because of Hagar's actions. Now, when you read the psukim, you know, Hagar didn't respect her, so Sarai said, oh, I'm upset. It almost sounds like she's reacting in a manner like, you know, oh, she's not expecting me. Like something personal. Okay? No matter what you learn, you don't have to say it was personal. Again, it was Hagar's inappropriate behavior. The question is, when Sarai afflicted her, was she right or was she not right? So the Ramban is saying that she wasn't right, and the Netziv is trying to lighten it.
Yeah, although the Talmud story, of course, stresses the word young, which Sarai is not.
Okay, so the point would be that what's your point?
Well, that she should have been wiser than that in
okay.
her age.
Okay. Once we've been focusing on this episode with Yishmael, I want to share with you one last thought of the Ramban on again, regarding Yishmael towards the end of the parasha. Take a look at page 74. Avram is given the mitzvah bris milah. His name is being changed from Avram to Avraham. Then Hashem says, Sarai will not be called Sarai anymore. Her name will be Sarah. And she will bear to you a son, and kings and nations will come out of him. Okay. Take a look on page 74, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayimra Avraham Elo Elohim, and Avram said to Hashem, Lu Yishmael Yichel Fanecha. If it would only be that Yishmael will live before you. So what was Avraham trying to do when he said, Lu Yishmael, oh that Yishmael might live before you. So the Ramban says, what it means is like this, that the word Lu means, well, that word Lu is used, like we translate as Lu Yishmael as Halavai, if only. But actually, the way the Ramban explains Lu as, it's only if. It's like a contraction word of two words, Imloi, if not. Meaning, Avraham hears that he's going to have a son from Sarah. Now, Hashem told him he's going to have an heir. He's going to have a son who's going to inherit him. Says the Ramban, Avraham thought that's Yishmael. But now that Avram hears that Sarai is going to have a child, and all the greatness that's destined for that child, Avram understands who's the heir now? The child from Sarah, not Yishmael. So he says to himself, so what's going to happen to Yishmael? What's going to happen to him? So on that, says the Ramban, Avram said to Rabbeinu Shalom, Li Yishmael Yechel Fanecha. Basically, thank you for the son from Sarah, but only if Yishmael can live also. Doesn't mean Yishmael is gonna be like Yitzchak. Doesn't mean Yishmael is gonna be like the son of Sarai. But it shouldn't be that Yishmael basically will die and just have no existence, have no future. Because now that the true heir is going, now that the heir is going to be Yitzchak, Sarah's son, so what's the purpose of Yishmael? So therefore, Avram says, Lu Yishmael Yechafanecha. If you're going to give this to me, I only want it if Yishmael will also live. And the Rebbeinu Shlom responded, right? Look in the Pesukim. What does Hashem say back to Avram? Vayomer Elokim, Pasuk Yitesh, bottom line of the page 74. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Aval Sarah Ishtecha Yiladis Lachabein. But Sarah, your wife, will give birth to you a son, Mekarasa Shema Yitzchak. You will call his name Yitzchak. Vakimaisis Brisi Itai. I shall establish my covenant with him, Levris Ailam, an eternal covenant, Lazariah Acharav to his children after him. Ul Yishmael Shmaticha. Regarding Shu Yishmael, I have heard you. Hine Berachti, I say, behold, I have blessed him. Befresi, I say, I will make him fruitful. Verbesi, I say, Bemaid Ma'id, and I will multiply him greatly. So, that means that, will Yishmael live? Yeah, he'll live. He'll live and he'll prosper. Now, Rashi, where Rashi on the words, Lu Yishmael Yechiel Lefanecha, you know, if only Yishmael should live before you. So Rashi learns that Avram is not saying to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I only want this if Yishmael can live. But rather, it means that Lu Yishmael Chavanecha, Lu, oh that Yishmael would live before you, is a way of Avram saying, I don't deserve a Yitzchak. You gave me Yishmael already, I have a son. Now that you're giving me a Yitzchak, that's beyond what I deserve. On the words Lefanecha, if only that he should live before you, what does it mean he should live before you? So Rashi says before you means beyirasecha, in fear of you. That means Yishmael should live in fear of you. He should be righteous. Now, according to this, and the Ramban asks on Rashi, well, according to what you're saying, if that's Rashi, if that is the request of Abraham, that Yishmael should live in fear of Hashem, so says the Ramban, what does it mean later on when Hashem says, Uli Yishmael Shmaticha, regarding Yishmael, I have heard you. What does that mean?
Because there was no...
What does that mean? Now, what? How do you hear the question?
Well, it doesn't look like a reaction to what...
So you're saying the question is, if Luyach Shema Yishmael Lefanecha means spiritually, what does Hashem respond with? Material.
Yes, right.
Okay. Rabbi Shavel brings down a commentary that learns the question on Rashi differently. And he says like this, that Rabbi Shavel brings down from the Abuav, that the meaning of the question of the Ramban, that according to Rashi, what does it mean, and regarding Yishmael, I have heard you, is Kolaymar. Ve'ichem sh'loi la'Hashem la'avtiach amasha'edei b'rshusei, ki'akobi de Yishmael chutz mi'ira shemayim. We have a klal, we have a gemara. Excuse me. Ha'akobi de Yishmael, everything is in the hands of Hashem, chutz mi'ira shemayim, except for fear of God. Hashem decides on everything about a person, doesn't decide about fear of God. So if Rashi is learning, Lu Yishmael Yechiel Lefanecha means Yishmael should be in fear of you, Hashem. So Hashem responds, I heard you about Yishmael. What do you mean I heard you about Yishmael? What, I promise you he's going to be righteous? Hashem doesn't promise anybody's going to be righteous. Hashem doesn't intervene in righteousness. So what does it mean? So it doesn't work. It doesn't work because of that reason. Rashi is learning that Avram's request about Yishmael living in front before you means he should live in fear of you. Well, the response is, I heard you about Yishmael. I've heard. I've accepted what you said. So what is Hashem saying? Hashem is promising him that Yishmael is going to be righteous? Hashem doesn't intervene in those things. That's the Ramban's question. So then Rabbi Shavel brings down from Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, a commentary on Rashi, how does he answer Rashi? V'haram tiretz kirak alachayim heishimai. Mizrahi says, you're right. Avram's request was spiritual. Hashem's response was, I heard you, but only about material.
Only about material.
Yeah. I mean, I heard you. I hear your request. I know you want Yishmael to be righteous. I hear that, and my response to that is, I can't guarantee that. I can't guarantee that he's going to be righteous, but he'll be well off.
But
now you can really ask the question the other way around. Okay? According to Rashi, how did Avram even ask for it? If the question is that Hashem doesn't intervene, then how did Avraham ask for that? Okay, he doesn't touch on here. He says that, and maybe that's what Ramban means also, but then the answer wouldn't work. I mean, the way that Abuav says, explains Ramban's question on Rashi, it's the Shmuel Shematicha, I heard you about Yishmael. If about Yishmael was that he should be in fear of Hashem, how can he say, I hear you and guarantee that? And the Mizrahi says, well, okay, you're right. Hashem can't guarantee it. And Hashem wasn't responding about that. Hashem didn't respond about regarding spiritually. He responded about material success. But no one touches on the fact that how did Avraham ask? So that question remains to be answered. I'm not going to have enough time for that. Maybe one time we will delve into this a little bit more about basically asking Hashem to help someone do what's right.
He knew Ishmael wasn't going.
Okay, correct. The question is though that if they keep asking from the Gemara that says Akobi de Ishmael chutz miyira shemayim, if that's the problem that Hashem doesn't intervene in someone's fear of God, that would mean that I can't pray for your spirituality.
Well,
that's what it would seem. And there's a discussion about that.
Every Jew every day
about yourself.
For children, yeah. No children.
Oh, okay. So one answer is children are different. One answer is children are different.
But this is his son.
Therefore.
So he asked for it.
So okay, so then that would answer that would be another answer to the Ramban you're saying. Answer the Ramban. Well, again, what is? Are you asking a question? Are you answering a question? What are you getting
at? But I'm trying to see whether it contradicts what the Talmud says. It's because on one hand it says that, oh, I see what you're saying, it's different. It's true for everybody, but for children and oneself.
Right.
Okay.
That would be an answer.
Right, okay.
But again, this is a whole discussion on its own.
Yeah,
and again, I'm bringing it up because the Rambam brings it up, Sivsa Chacham and Rashi brings it up. The Sivsa Chacham says on Rashi, how could Abraham ask for that? How could Yishmael chutz mira Shemayim? And I saw one of the answers given to this question is children are different.
I see, okay.
You can ask for children. That doesn't necessarily answer the question though. Like, you know, so what does it mean everything is in the hands of Hashem except for fear of Hashem? And therefore what? So I can pray for myself and my children but not someone else?
Yeah.
How do you understand that? But okay, I'm just bringing this up because it is an interesting point. The Ramban, and again, the some learn in the Ramban, that's their whole Ramban's question on Rashi. How could Hashem say, I heard you? Hashem doesn't intervene in that. And the Mizrahi says, yeah, right, Rashi's gonna learn that Hashem, that was Avram's request, that Hashem doesn't intervene, and Hashem's response was not directly about Avram's request, but, you know, almost like, well, I can't answer you about that one, but I'll give you this instead.
A related question. So, many years ago, Hashem